step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is not your imagination. Prices are running hot. To put it in other words, you're paying more for the things you need. You're listening to Simply Money tonight. I'm Amy Wagner, along with Steve Sprovac. Consumer prices surge. And as we look at the numbers, more than 4% in April. Understand, it's the most significant increase since September of 2008. Steve, we were expecting some inflation. We've been saying on the show, it's going to hurt a little bit. This was even more than we had anticipated.
Oh, no, this is a big number. Don't kid yourself, Amy. Yeah. I mean, we were expecting somewhere around 3.5%, which is a massive bump in inflation when we've been just chugging along at, 1.2, 1.8, touching 2% a couple months ago. It's been like that for years and years and years, and then bam, we're expecting 3.5%, and it comes in at 4.2%. This was a shocker today, but all you have to do is go out and start buying stuff, and you're going to say, wow, that went up in price. Oh my goodness, this costs what? What's gas cost a gallon now? And you've been feeling it for a while. It's just we finally got the numbers on it.
So let's dive a little deeper here into why. Why is this happening? You know, for the longest time we said, wages we don't see increasing right now. We had just gone through a pandemic. So many people have lost their jobs. But now we're actually seeing, and anecdotally, my nephew works for a hotel downtown. He's having to offer at least $3 more an hour than in these for entry level jobs than he was just a year ago. So we're seeing that, the big boss is having to offer more money to get people in the door to attract you. In a lot of the cases, it's because you're making more money off of unemployment benefits right now. There's a lot of people out there who are. And so there's a number of factors that play into this, including a lot of supply chain issues that we saw that started at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, and you didn't need an act of Congress to raise the minimum wage to $15 to get basically a $15 minimum wage. The market's already taken care of that. You're absolutely right. And you don't have to get into the politics of did you need to do that or what are they proposing. You just need to have workers show up. And to get workers to show up, you've got to offer them more money. So when wages go up, inflation is right behind. And we've seen that for a while. You mentioned supply chain issues. Do you realize how tough it is to get truckers to go from ports to the point of purchase with things like appliances and cars? I mean, there's a major bottleneck that's been going on as we're reopening the economy. Raw material prices up. Anybody that's decided to put on a deck this spring or an addition or like you building a house. I mean, lumber prices are going through the roof. And there's more money than ever in the system. I mean, Washington has been spending a whole lot of money that they don't have. Every single one of these items, Amy, is inflationary. And, we're finally seeing the numbers come in. Big question is this a short pop in inflation or is this a long-term issue that's going to get worse?
Well, and you mentioned, right, just home building. If you were to pick your neighborhood, pick your floor plan, whatever it was, build that house a year ago, and then try to build it now, you would be paying roughly $36,000 more because of those costs, the cost of lumber, because there's such a shortage in so many other products. You want to talk about inflation year over year? That's a crazy number. And that's what we're seeing is pockets of high inflation, right? Hyperinflation in some areas. Yeah. And that's like in home building right now.
Yeah, go out and buy a 2x4 at Home Depot, $10, not a buck and a half like it was a few years ago. It makes me sound like the old guy. I remember when, but it's really bizarre. And there's a concern among investors that they've been talking about this for a while. I've been taking the calls and we're setting records on the stock market. I'm uncomfortable with this huge 84% increase from the bottom in the Standard & Poor's 500. And the question is, what's going to cause it to come down? Because nothing ever goes up in in a straight line. I don't know if these inflation numbers are the trigger for the next correction, but they could very well be. I mean, you know, we've been looking for a reason to bring stock prices back down. Inflation is a big trigger that potentially could cause a correction. But, you know, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, run out there and make changes, because it's a correction if that's right. What occurs. It's not an economic collapse. I mean, corrections happen every year, year and a half or so. They're normal. You ride them out. Things go back.
Part of the system, part of the cycle, right?
It's part of the cost of doing business. It's part of the game. If you're going to try to get better returns than your bank with all the guarantees that you get, you're going to have to put up not just with ups, but occasional downs. And it's just something you need to acknowledge going in. Not a big deal.
You're listening to Simply Money Tonight here on 55KRC. It was just about a week ago that my 11-year-old son on the way to school turned to me and said, "Mom, what is inflation?" And this is not a typical Trey's conversations are usually about something he saw on Instagram, some cool basket he shot the day before, not inflation. And I said, "Buddy, why are you asking me this?" And he said, "Well, I heard my teacher talking about inflation, someone in the carpool, I hear Dad talking about inflation." Everyone is talking about inflation, and today we're getting the numbers showing that it's over 4% that we've seen, 4.2% to be exact, and that hurts. And we're seeing it in so many sectors. Plastics, paper, metals that are used in packaging have faced shortages. Chlorine, right? So
we're coming up on summertime.
Pool season the tri-state area starts Memorial Day weekend. My kids are counting down the days. Listen to this. Chlorine prices are up 72% from 2019 levels. There's less supply. There's a shortage. And what have all your neighbors done? What did they do during the pandemic? They either put in pools, made plans to put in pools. So the demand is even higher. 72% year over year. That's a crazy number.
Well, yeah, let's not even talk about the price of gas. I mean, go to the pump, it's going up. And you know, it's not just seasonal, but there was that, probably you heard about it, but there was a ransomware attack, cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline, which apparently runs a whole heck of a lot of the gasoline on the East Coast of the U.S. Growing up on the East Coast, I know two things. People there think they are the center of the world, and they panic easily. And right now, you know, this is all over the news out there. What do you mean I can't get a gallon of gas for under $3 anymore? You know, it's they're going nuts out there. And apparently they're hopeful it's going to be fixed soon, but we're seeing gasoline prices rise a lot going into Memorial Day weekend. That's just fueling the concern that inflation may be serious. Jerome Powell, the chairman of Federal Reserve, our nation's bank. He says this is temporary. This is all part of reopening after the economic shutdown. He has no concerns. Yeah, maybe he has an agenda, but these are smart people that track a lot of different indexes, a lot of different aspects of the economy. And I tend to believe them that, these are big numbers. It is a pop. But I think it's going to work its way through as we get more drivers getting goods to market, as we start to see the short-term disruptions ease and we get back to normal, because we're not back to normal. We're beginning to get there, but we're not there yet. So I think, expect some bad news over the next week, 2 weeks, next month or so. But as we get into the summer, I think a lot of these concerns will start to go away.
And as we dig into these inflation numbers, right, what it means to you, what the bigger impact can be, we know you can't catch us maybe every night. We're so grateful for your loyal listeners. But if you can't listen to Simply Money every night, it's okay. We've got a weekly podcast, Best of Simply Money. It's on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you check it out. Because as we talk about inflation, Steve, you know, we've also been talking about on this show President Biden's policy. And he has some major plans to dump, trillions of dollars into the economy and these economic plans. And when you have kind of inflationary situation like we do right now, that could be a really difficult sell.
I'm guessing the current administration did not like seeing these numbers because, it was a tough sell. You know, which multi-trillion dollar program are we talking? The one that was introduced last week or the one that was introduced a week or two before that? We're talking well over $4 trillion of new spending that the administration is proposing. I have a hard time believing much of that's going to get through. And if it was going to have a tough time getting through before, these inflation numbers that came out today, they're going to make it that much more difficult for this administration to get through their new spending proposals. It's just, you know, you can't put that much money out in the marketplace without some inflationary concerns. And if the inflation has already started to kick up, there's going to be a lot of pushback from the other party. They're going to have a real rough time getting these proposals through.
No question. Things are going to be really interesting in Washington in the coming days and weeks as this continues to play out. You know, I'm always looking for a bright side, though. I'm the eternal optimist here, Steve. And one thing is that copper, actually, has inflated a lot. The price of that jumping nearly 36%. Why would I be excited about that? Well, historically, the world's economy, you can look at it and kind of copper is a proxy for economic activity.
It is.
So when the prices of copper go up, the world economy looks to be at a really strong place. So this could be one thing. Hey, we're coming out of this pandemic, not just here in the tri-state, not just here as a nation, but globally. And globally, that number says to us that we're in a relatively healthy place.
We are. I mean, again, inflation, yeah, it's a big concern, but it tells us the economy's growing strongly. I mean, these economic growth numbers that we're getting are, they're staggering. So this is good. As we're getting things open back up, as we're returning to normalcy, when companies are making a lot of money and the economy is rip-roaring, that's a good sign for the future. That's why I don't have major concerns with the stock market long term.
Steve, you know, there are some scary headlines out there all over the place. We've been talking about those the past few days when it comes to inflation. So when you get calls from the investors that you're working with freaked out about inflation, what is your advice as a long-term investor to those people?
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it doesn't matter, just relax, because it's more complicated than that. But, you know, again, corrections are normal. If we were looking at slowing economic growth, potential recession on the horizon, I would have a whole different attitude towards these numbers. But we're not. We're looking at growth. And a growing economy is a good thing for investors. Yeah, maybe we'll have a correction, but you don't try to time the market. You don't jump in and out. And sometimes, Amy, the best decision is no decision. And for anybody looking to jump into cash, re-examine that. Don't make emotional decisions because of, important inflation numbers, but 5 years from now, will it really matter? I don't think so.
Here's the Simply Money point. Inflation, without a doubt, it is running hot right now, but it could also be a sign that our economy is coming roaring back to life. Lots of talk about the cicadas. These are not my favorite. I think they're disgusting, but you may have the option to keep some in your freezer as an investment opportunity. Okay, I might not be top on that list, but we're going to tell you what all the buzz is about. That's ahead in 3 minutes. You're listening to Simply Money tonight here on 55KRC, the talk station. You're listening to Simply Money. I'm Amy Wagner along with Steve Srovac. Maybe you stored up some cash during the pandemic. The question now, what to do with it? Market's doing great. Where do you go? That's ahead at 6:43. The cicadas, they are coming. You know, my kids are not old enough, Steve, to remember the cicadas or to even understand why I freak out when they're mentioned.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there who are excited, dare I say, that they are coming because they're actually planning on keeping them in their freezers for a few years down the road. Why? Because you can sell them?
What's the futures market on cicadas right now?
Who wants to buy a cicada?
Apparently, there's a website called BioQuipBugs.com where you can buy a cicada for between $5 and $12 each. Because these are 17-year-old cicadas. I got a feeling those prices are going to nosedive in the next few days when we have gazillions of them buzzing around our heads. But people do things like that. And you know, something that shows up every 17 years, I guess they're going to try to make a buck off of it.
Well, not only can you invest in them because you can sell them, apparently you can dare I say, eat them.
No, you can say that. I could not.
I don't know, though. I love Jungle Gyms. I think it's the coolest place ever. And one time I got to do this game in this store where you had to essentially search where you had to find certain things. We had to find the bug aisle, and there's a whole aisle of edible bugs there. So
Excuse me, sir. Can you point me towards the bugs?
Yeah. 2 billion people apparently around the globe already are in the bug eating market, and cicadas are apparently quite a delicacy. In fact, there was one chef who said, listen, I like to eat the cicada as sashimi, so just on its own, so you can taste it, just remove the legs and the wings because that's not so tasty. I can't even imagine.
Apparently the same chef said you can find the crispiness of a cicada similar to that of pan-fried trout skin. That doesn't sound like, wow, I haven't had good pan-fried trout skin lately. Maybe I'll have a cicada and that'll be just as good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Here's my cicada experience. I first moved to Cincinnati in 1984, and I'm cutting the front grass and sitting on my lawn tractor, and there's gazillions of these things
around.
They're
dive-bombing you.
It's hot out. I'm wearing a hat. I'm wearing a windbreaker, and I got a badminton racket because they're like drunken bumblebees coming towards me. I'm just whacking them, knocking them out of the air, you know.
Disgusting. Yeah.
They don't hurt anything, but they're gonna land on you. They're gonna drive you a little bit nuts. Be prepared for your dog to eat them. I have no interest in eating them, but apparently dogs love them.
I didn't even think about
that.
I have been mentally preparing myself.
Our golden retriever ate them like candy.
Puppy.
Which was, that was disgusting. And the next day, the results of his eating was equally disgusting.
Stop. Well, I will then report back to you on this when Garth and the cicadas collide for the first time. Until then, let's go to the Allworth mailbag here, shall
we?
We're going to answer the questions that we do every week. You send them to us. Ask simplymoney at allworthfinancial.com. First question from Tim in Highland Heights. My son has gotten into day trading. Right now, he's up 25%. You know, I'd like to encourage him to be a smart long-term investor, but it's tough because he's making so much money. So what can I do here?
Tim, I don't know how much luck you have telling your grown son much. I haven't had that much luck.
As a father of two grown sons.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, this might be time for tough love. I would say, good for you, son. Maybe you figured out the secrets to success and wait till the first downturn in the market. Everybody makes money in a rising market. All boats rise with the tide, but we're going to have some interesting days, and day traders are going to get killed at some point. And I personally would say, let him go. Son, you seem to have figured it out. And then when he loses a big chunk of money, maybe just warn him not to put too much, don't put your college savings into it. But I would let it go. I mean, it's the tortoise and the hare, and he's going to have a real good period and he's going to have a real bad period. And maybe he needs to find out for himself instead of dad telling him.
Well, tough lesson. And the good thing I see here is that I'm hoping that your son is young, so 20s or so, where if he's going to lose something, and we hope it's not everything that he would put into his 401k or anything like that, that he will learn that lesson quickly and early, and be all the better, smarter, long-term investor because of that. You're listening to Simply Money tonight here on 55KRC. Ask Simply Money at allworthfinancial.com. We are answering your questions tonight. Next is Carol in Pleasant Ridge. She said, I've heard you say that I should wait to collect Social Security, but I'm really worried about the system going bust, so why shouldn't I collect it earlier?
Are there problems with Social Security?
We haven't heard.
Yeah, exactly. Washington doesn't seem to think so.
Here's
the way I think of Washington. They're going to do the right thing after they've exhausted all other options. And they're going to wait till the very end, with fixing Social Security. It has to get fixed. My gut tells me they're going to raise the retirement age when you can collect full benefits from 67 probably to 69 or 70. That's what they did last time. Was in trouble during the Reagan administration. So, you know, that would fix the bulk of it. They'll probably take off the cap on earnings. A lot of people don't realize if you make more than $142,000, you don't pay into Social Security on that overage. In the current environment, I think they're going to remove that cap. But they will fix it. Expect it at the 11th hour and the 59th minute, because, Amy, there's a lot of registered voters that are over age 62. They have to do something.
Well, and here's the thing, Carol. How much do you need that money? We would say if you really need that money, it makes sense to hold off claiming as long as you possibly can. Because
sure.
after your full retirement age, up to the age of 70, you're getting a guaranteed 8% every year that you're adding to that Social Security benefit. Now, if you don't really need the money, if it's not one of your only sources of income in retirement and you have these concerns, yeah. Claim it early. You'll be fine. You've got other sources of income. So it kind of comes down to your kind of individual needs, however you want to look at this. Next question from Shane from Newport, 45, starting a new job soon. What should he do with his old 401k? The number one thing we'd say here, do not cash it out. You can look at both 401ks, look at the fees, look at your options, look at that, and you can keep them in the old 401k. You can move it over. Just don't cash out. You've been listening to Simply Money tonight here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to Simply Money tonight. I'm Amy Wagner. If you have children, you get this. You have done everything you can to raise them and love them. And when they need help, you're the first in line to help them. Well, what we have seen during this pandemic is so many of you, when your children needed help, jumping in to help with money. And tonight we're going to look at how that's playing out. Ted Rossman is an industry analyst for creditcards.com with some interesting research. And I think if you're a person who's identifying with what I'm talking about, Ted, we would say they are not alone. This
is a very common thing. So we're talking about half of parents with adult children have given those kids money since the beginning of the pandemic. It's a lot of money, too. The average is over $4,000.
Wow.
Among households who make more than $80,000 a year, that average is more than $8,500. And the unfortunate thing is that a lot of times it's coming at the detriment of the parents' own finances. Like, this isn't always money that they could afford to lose.
So let's start at the beginning of this issue. I think that this is something that parents have been doing forever, right? Even helping kids beyond college. But this pandemic has maybe made it even worse. Let's talk about how the pandemic has played into this for so many of these families.
I think really what's gone on here is that parents are helping their kids through a tough time. And I really do admire that. I think that it's great if you can. I mean, it does remind me of that thing they say on the airplane about put your oxygen mask on before
yes.
helping somebody else. But I think there's really been a sense of shared sacrifice here. We found that Gen Zers and millennials, they've really been hit hard by the pandemic, especially because so many, they didn't have a lot of savings coming in. They had a lot of student debt. They work in industries that have been disproportionately hit, you know, like service jobs and the like. So I totally get what's going on here. But what I think is a really important point is we need to separate a one-time crisis from ongoing support.
Yes.
And I think it's great to help somebody in a time of need if you can. But what you don't want is this to become a habit. And then month after month, you're doing this and it's really just enabling some bad behavior, and it's hurting your own finances, potentially.
Sure, when it becomes an expectation that this was not a one-and-done thing, but an ongoing thing. Hey, Ted, when you look at this research, when these parents were giving their adult children this money to help out with things, what were those adult children, what were they doing with that money?
Practical things, which I think does underscore the fact that they probably needed the money. You know, things like food and housing, those were the top two answers by far.
So not vacations, concerts, nothing like that.
It wasn't that, but sometimes the lines can blur a little bit. And I do think that, you know, going back to something you just said a minute ago about one-time expenses, you know, I do think that it's important to set parameters here. I do think that it's usually better to phrase it as a gift rather than a loan, because when you loan somebody money implicitly or maybe even explicitly, you have some power over them. And I think that that gets really awkward when you're sitting around the dinner table, you know, and in effect, your banker is there if you owe money to mom and dad.
Yeah.
And on the subject of vacations, you know, there could be a lot of second guessing. Oh, you went on this fancy trip, but you owe me money. And, you know, I think sometimes there's mental accounting that, oh, yeah, I use that for food and housing, but then what about some of the other stuff you're spending your money on? Bottom line, I would say don't lend or don't give more than you can afford to lose. And better yet, phrase it as a gift and don't expect that money back.
You're listening to Simply Money tonight here on 55KRC as we look into some interesting research done by creditcards.com about how many adults, adult children were helped by parents during the pandemic. Understandably, these kids were hit hard. But let's talk about the flip side of this, because parents have said that giving this money, this gift to their children during this time has impacted their finances. What does that part of it look like, Ted?
About 80% of the time, these parents said that this was money that they would have used for their own benefit. So it wasn't truly extra money. It was money that otherwise would have gone to paying down their own debt. That was the number one answer. Second was spending on day-to-day expenses. And third was boosting their emergency savings. So these are all good goals for the parents, too. I do worry about what happens to them. You know, they didn't have this money to put towards their credit card debt, let's say, and now that's compiling at an APR of over 16% on average. And you can see where this becomes kind of a vicious cycle. And then, you know, what if they don't have enough for retirement? And then, you know, they're kind of looking to their kids for a handout. So, you know, I think that you need to be really thoughtful about this. I know we want to help our family in times of need, but sure. I do think that it's really important to think about all of this ahead of time. You know, is this money that you truly can afford to part with? Maybe you can help in another way. You know, a really common one was adult kids moving in with parents. And I know there's some cost to that, both monetary and emotional, but I think that something like that can actually work for both parties more than just writing the rent check month after month.
Yes. All right, good point. Okay, so Ted, I understand completely a parent wanting to help out, especially during this pandemic. But you mentioned earlier that where we get into an issue here is if that hand keeps going out beyond that. What do you say to parents who stepped in and helped during the pandemic, but the kid seems to maybe have gotten so used to that help that they are not letting up? How does that conversation go down? What's your advice to those parents?
I like setting some parameters, and you can offer to help, too. Like, for instance, going along with that idea of maybe moving in with your parents for a time, well, maybe you do pay a nominal amount of rent. I mean, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be market value. But, you know, having some skin in the game, I think, helps psychologically. Maybe the parent even sets that aside as kind of a freedom fund. So then when it's time for the kid to move out, this rent they've been paying is actually sitting there as the down payment for the house they're going to buy or the security deposit for the apartment they're going to rent. I think something like that, or even like if you're able to, maybe offering some kind of matching program that the parents can help the kids get on their feet, but doing so in a way where expectations are clear and it's not a free ride. So the kid is paying something, even if the parent is putting more on top of that.
Well, and let's flip the script here, because I think it's many kids, no matter what their age is, when the parents talk, it's like the teacher on Peanuts, right? It's wah, 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 wah. So what do you say to these millennials, these Gen Zers who have gone to parents for help during this time, whose parents have maybe said, we need to dial it back, and those kids are really frustrated about that? What's your message to them?
I think the vast majority of millennials and Gen Zers want to be independent financially. They just feel like the deck's been stacked against them in a way. And, you know, there are some real concerns here about student debt, the likes of which their parents didn't have when they were this age. You know, other costs have gone up. Healthcare has gone up a lot. Housing has gone up a lot. And there's been some tough economic hits. You know, we talk about COVID, the Great Recession.
Sure.
You know, there have been some difficulties here. But I do think that ultimately these young adults want to be self-sufficient. They might just need a little bit of guidance. You know, some of that is advice. Some of that is monetary support. I think ideally parents can work with their kids to come up with a plan. You know, how can we frame it so that in 6 months you're ready to have your own place in a sustainable way that works for everybody? I think that kind of framing is a good goal.
All right. So great advice, great perspective tonight from Ted Rossman, industry analyst for creditcards.com. If you've maybe been giving a handout to your adult children during this pandemic, hopefully the worst of this is over and maybe now it's time to change that conversation, put some parameters in place to make sure that this is not going to have a huge impact on you financially moving forward. You've been listening to Simply Money tonight here on 55 KRC, the talk station. You're listening to Simply Money. I'm Amy Wagner along with Steve Sprovac. How much of an allowance are you paying your kids? Those wages, man, have really gone up over the past year. How do you compare? What are those kiddos doing for that money? We're going to look at that ahead in 10 minutes. Maybe you have some cash sitting on the sidelines, right? You weren't able to spend much last year. You didn't go on the typical vacation. Maybe you got some stimulus money. The question now is, you've got some money on the sidelines. What are you going to do with it? Steve, when you get these calls, first of all, Steve, are you getting these calls?
I mean, people come into money through lump sums, rollovers, whatever the case happens to be. And you know, they're nervous when the market is pretty much at a high or is at a high of putting a big chunk of change into the market, even if it's only 40, 50, 60% stock. They worry about timing. You've got to acknowledge you're not in control of best times, worst times, when the market's at a high, when it's at a bottom. So if you acknowledge, okay, I can't pick the perfect time, what's the best way to put a large chunk of money into the market? It's something called dollar cost averaging. You do this in your 401k already.
Yep.
You have
you're
payroll
very familiar
deduction
with it.
Exactly. You know, if you're having $100 out of each paycheck go into your 401k, it goes in during good times, during bad times, and it works out really well when you put a pencil to paper and figure out, what did I actually pay? And you think about it, Amy. All right, I've got 10 grand I want to put in into the stock market. Let's buy, just as an example, something trading at $200 a share. Okay, and then the next month you put another $10,000 in, and it's only at $100 a share. You own twice as many shares at the lower price. And with the ups and downs of the market, when you look back after a year or two, you find, no, I actually paid less than half the average cost of that stock by just consistently putting the same dollar amount into the market that I wanted to get invested. It's a great way to get money into the market during volatile periods without driving yourself crazy trying to figure out where's the bottom, where's the top.
Well, and I think there's a lot of people, though, who are saying, yeah, but it just feels wrong to put money in right now. I'm just going to wait. You know, you keep talking about a correction, a 10% pullback. Then I'll put the money in. And here's where I caution you. Go back a year ago. Go back to last February, last March, when the market every day was worse. And I mean, it felt like the bottom was falling out. You could have put money in the market on one day and then the next day been hitting yourself because it was down even more.
Why didn't I just wait?
After that, right. And so, or maybe you waited because you thought, this is a global pandemic. Like, this is going to get so much worse. Only it didn't. And even though there were people on Main Street that were doing really, really badly and the situation was not good, the market went on a tear from there. And so I think it's really easy to say, I'm going to wait for this to happen. But knowing in the moment that that is happening, right, this is the bottom, this is the worst we're going to see for a while, it is nearly impossible to time it that way.
It is. I love Warren Buffett's quote. I mean, this is one of the best, if not the best, investor who ever lived. When he talks about market timing, he said, I can't market time. I don't know anybody who's successfully market timed. I don't even know anybody who knows anybody who's successfully market timed. So if he can't do it, why do you think you can? And you know, when things were at the very bottom about a year ago, the news was really, really ugly. It's not, hey, this is clear, things are getting better. No, it's the news looks like it's worse and getting worse. And yet at some point you were at the bottom. And so just forget about trying to pick the best point. Dollar cost average in over a period of time, and you'll look back on it and say, that worked out really well.
You're listening to Simply Money tonight here on 55 KRC. If you have money on the sidelines, what should you do with it? This is not going to sound sexy or exciting, and no one's going to be talking about this at the next party you go to, but what if you use that money to pay down debt? Because it's a guaranteed return. Money not going out is the same as money not coming in. Do you have credit card debt? Do you have a mortgage debt that you know you're going to take with you into retirement? Now's the time to maybe look at using this money to get that kind of a guaranteed return.
No question. If you're not paying off your credit card debt every month and you're carrying a balance, I can't guarantee you a 14.5% rate of return.
Nope.
But if you pay off your credit card balance, that's the average interest rate that you're paying. So you automatically get a 14% rate of return if you pay off that credit card balance. Even your mortgage, Amy, I mean, yeah, there's an argument, well, we're making more today than we are paying on our 30-year mortgage because we're at 2.8. We're at 3.2%, whatever the interest rate is. Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of peace of mind when you pay off your mortgage. And I could tell you, working with especially retirees that, you know, have a mortgage, it drives you crazy during volatile times. If you're drawing money out of your investments, your IRA, your 401k to make a mortgage payments when things are going down, like they were in March of 2020.
Yes.
Yeah, getting out of debt, there's a mathematical reason to do it, but there's also an emotional reason
to
do it.
Huge emotional reason.
You bet.
And another thing, before we even go down this path of dollar cost averaging or paying off debt, do you have an emergency fund?
Yep.
If you don't, that's the number one thing you should put your money toward. And we would say maybe 6 months of critical expenses you need to have sitting on the sidelines, not in the market. It will pay you in dividends many times over when an emergency arises. There's study after study after study that shows that Americans don't have $400 sitting on the sidelines if you had an emergency that came up. So this is the best possible way that you can start to build a solid financial future. Here's a Simply Money point. There's really no one answer to how should you invest right now. Check your goals, check your needs, make sure you're also checking your risk tolerance. What are your kids doing with their allowance these days? How did that change over the pandemic? We're going to look into that ahead in 3 minutes. You're listening to Simply Money tonight here on 55KRC, the talk station. You're listening to Simply Money. I'm Amy Wagner along with Steve Sprovac. Kids embraced their entrepreneurial spirit during last year's lockdown. They did chores. They cut the grass. So the question is, how much should you pay them? It turns out kids are a great source of cheap labor because the Kids Allowance Report found that kids are making $9.35 a week doing chores, up 30% from just last year. That's a huge increase, Steve.
Not in my neighborhood. I regret the day I lost my cheap labor. That's when the kids went to college. All of a sudden, I had to cut the grass. I had to do this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, kids are not just making more money doing chores, but they're saving a lot of their money. The numbers show that they're saving about half of what they're receiving in doing chores and allowance. This is good, and they're out there spending it. I'm not sure I'm crazy about what they're buying with it, but kids are kids, and they're buying Legos, books, magazines, video games, something called Roblox. I never heard of that. Your kids know what that is?
Well, Trey's a little older for it. He's definitely on the Fortnite bandwagon, which I hate. But no, Roblox are huge for younger kids. It's a really popular game. And that's, you know, of course, these games they get addicted to, and then they need to put money into the account in order to unlock certain abilities in these games. So that's what kids are spending this money on. I have always been, and this is going to sound weird because I am so big into educating my kids on money, but at the same time, I feel like you kind of got to earn your keep around here a little bit. And I don't ask anything out of my kids that's out of line. And my son's a little too young to cut the grass. And I think if you were to take on some bigger chores like that, I would absolutely pay for that. Yeah. But at this point, you're going to have to unload the dishwasher. You're going to have to take turns cleaning the bathroom. You're going to have to pick up your room. I'm not going to pay you for that. But my kids have other kind of regular sources of income for birthdays and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
My daughter babysits now. So we do talk about how to spend that money. But here at home, I think my kids would tell you I'm super stingy. Allowance is hard to come by around here.
Yeah. A lot of parents give everything to their kids. And, you know, I grew up in a house where there wasn't any money. And if I needed a new pair of sneakers or whatever the thing that I wanted would cost, I'd have to go out and find a job. So I was working since I was 12, 13 years old. And you know, I think it makes you a better person doing that. I had a lawn route that was making me a ton of money. So when my kids were growing up, newspaper route, all that stuff, when my kids were growing up, I would pay them to do things like cut the grass. And it was kind of funny, Amy, because my backyard was about twice the size of the front yard. And I would say, $10 for the front, $10 for the back. And I'm looking, and the back grass was getting really tall, and the front grass was perfect. I'm like, what's going on here? And they said, well, it takes about half the time to do the front. So I just did the front, Dad. And the way it actually played out is I had to pay more to get the back grass cut. So they know how to negotiate.
Your kids are tough negotiators. I know. I love that.
But that's okay. You know, they learned that they had to do work to make money. And, you know, it's a good lesson for kids, no question.
And I truly think the fact that we're seeing so many more kids saving, right, saving money. And 12% of kids are actually increasing their income by selling things online. My daughter has done that with her closet. She went in together with some friends, and they have like a Grace, Kristen, Riley closet thing on Instagram, and kids can buy their old clothes, and they've made some money off of it, which is great. So
wait a second. So you're buying stuff for your kids that they're selling and keeping the money.
We're not even going to dig into that. That's enough. You're listening to Simply Money tonight here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.